Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
On to something entirely different. Is it a boy or a girl? Well, every expectant parent gets that question at some point in time. And it's also the crux of a relatively new social phenomenon called the gender reveal party, at which, true to its name, the gender of an expected baby is dramatically revealed. Now, it sounds like a fun party, but it's also raising some questions. And with us to discuss those questions is Carrie Goldberg, host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Magna.
Okay, so since we're talking newborns or infants, let me have another little, oh my God, this has been a long day.
Clearly.
we get down to my ABCs, Carrie.
Let's do that. Did you want to ask me what these parties are like?
That's the question.
Yes.
I've never been to a gender reveal party. What's it like?
So, well, if you've never been to one and you've never watched one, you've missed about 500,000 literally videos on YouTube, because there's something like 600,000 videos if you search for gender reveal on YouTube. And these parties are, you know, some of them are quite elaborate. They have cupcakes or balloons or smoke. They're kind of made for Pinterest, you know. And the whole point of the thing is the pink versus the blue. Like, they all lead up to this dramatic denouement, which is when the guests and usually the parents too find out the sex of the baby that they're expecting, because inside the cake or the balloons that come out of a box or the smoke that comes out are either pink or blue.
Okay, it sounds very exciting, but also very binary.
Very, very binary, yes. About as binary as you can get. And you know, at a time when society is moving away from binary gender norms. So we've just had a post on Common Health by reporter Chelsea Conaboy that features a doctor who specializes in infants whose sex at birth is unclear, so their anatomy is atypical or ambiguous. Uh-huh. And this doctor writes in the journal Pediatrics that, of course, these gender reveal parties, they seem fun-filled and innocent, right?
But I hear a but coming here. So
yes.
Maybe we should ask, why is sex or gender so important?
Bingo,
right.
And this doctor, Lena Nahata, is at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. But she trained here at Harvard, and she led the program here on differences in sex development at Children's. So she writes, quote, and I'm quoting, "Are these traditions truly harmless? So by celebrating this single fact several months before an infant's birth, are we risking committing ourselves and others to a particular vision and a set of stereotypes that are potentially harmful? So, like, what are the expectations that are being created for this infant just based on sex and implied gender? And what are the implications if and when those expectations are not fulfilled?"
Okay, well, I'm going to say I think those expectations are already there no matter what. But I'm going to
give you that.
We'll come back to that. In a second, because I just want to see if I understand what you're saying correctly, that Dr. Nahata is saying that the central concern she has is that putting a heavy emphasis on a future child's sex could carry with it some, I don't want to call it baggage, but consequences,
well, stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And,
exactly.
And it's just this emphasis on gender. And of course, Dr. Nahata has a particular vantage point because she sees how this can play out when an infant's sex is unclear. And that's not as unusual as you might think. It's about one in every 5,000 births.
Okay. And in those cases, what's usually done then?
Well, so she writes that the approach to these decisions around which gender a baby is assigned and what should be done medically, these decisions have evolved. And now it's really a nice sort of shared decision-making model with the parents and the medical team, equal partners, which sounds a lot better than, you know, the stories you hear about the old days when the doctors were much more high-handed. But even so, you can imagine that these are often not easy decisions to make. And the really hard part is that the child is a baby and they can't help you decide.
Right. And then especially in these cases, wouldn't it be better if we could just wait until the child is old enough to tell their parents or their doctor what their gender is.
Right, yeah. Which some say could be as early as 2 or 3, but you can't wait, right? And Dr. Nahata even asks this in her piece, like, in situations where it's not clear what the right gender would be, can't we wait? But of course, that brings you back to whether you can wait socially, and that brings us back to the gender reveal party as a cultural institution, because if you're attributing masses of importance to a child's sex or gender, then maybe you can't wait. Right?
This seems like a tall order. I mean, she's calling for a cultural de-emphasis on a baby's gender.
Yeah, and I know it goes against the grain, doesn't it? It goes against, I mean, gender is one of the few things, or sex, sorry, is one of the few things you can know about a baby in advance. But she has a lot of allies in this, judging by the social media response to this post on Common Health. My favorite one was from a commenter who said, well, instead of cutting into the cake and finding out that the inside is blue or pink, why don't you just fill the cake with rubber green spiders and just mess with everybody's head?
Okay. Okay, Carrie, so here I go. I'm going to take a deep breath here.
Okay,
because I can see what she's saying in the cases that Dr. Nahata deals with. And, mm-hmm. and for a lot of people who don't care what the gender of their child is, fine.
Right, just don't
but,
do the party.
But,
right.
but for some people, it's an exciting thing. It's a big deal. And we're just talking about like one innocent little gender reveal party, okay? Like what I'm saying is, right. is it really that big of a deal? And maybe it's my current mood, but the current mood I'm in is why do we have to add yet another thing that we're criticizing new or soon to be parents for even before their child is born?
Right. That's so legit. And I also think it's so deeply personal, right? Like what if you've always dreamed of having a child of a certain sex? But I also think that the message that it is okay to take away here is really beware of having specific expectations about how or who your child will be, because destiny really loves messing with those expectations.
Right?
Yes. And also, I think, you know, questioning the gender reveal party is probably OK because it makes us stop and think, well, what am I thinking about gender and sex? And does it make sense?
OK. I'm not going to let this one go, though, Carrie.
OK.
Because what difference does it make when a parent decides to reveal or discover what their child's gender is? Because if really the concern is like, oh, all of a sudden then stereotypes about boys and girls are going to be rushing in, mm-hmm. those stereotypes are there. They exist in the culture anyway. So it doesn't matter if a parent talks about a child's gender at 6 months before or, you know, in the second trimester or after a child's birth. It doesn't matter.
Right. The stereotypes exist.
They will
anyway.
Still be there. Yeah.
Yes. But arguably, I think you could argue, being devil's advocate here, that if you set up a whole party for the dramatic reveal of what a child's sex is going to be, doesn't that impute just a whole lot of importance to which sex they end up being?
I mean, yes, but we impute a lot of importance to all sorts of things about newborns that we have no control over, like you were saying earlier. So,
that's true.
Okay.
That's true.
All right. So I'm still... I have no opinion on this. I'm just saying.
If you ever want to have a gender reveal party, Meghna, that's okay.
If I do?
Yes.
I'm done.
We'll let that one go.
I had two chances at it. Passed both times. Carrie Goldberg, host of WBR's Common Health Blog. Wow, what a day. Thank you so much, Carrie.
Welcome.
We'll be back on Meghna Chakravarti. This is Radio Boston.